And so really, I'm focused on is deepening the work that we already do because it works. It's evidence-based. It's meeting students and families where they are. And it'd be a shame if that can't continue.
Welcome to Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I'm your host and chief goddess of the PASS Foundation, Annalise Corbin. We know the current model for education is obsolete. It was designed to create fleets of assembly line workers, not the thinkers and problem solvers needed today. We've seen the innovations that are possible within education, and it's our goal to leave the box behind and reimagine what education can look like in your own backyard. Welcome to today's episode of Learning Unboxed. As always, I am excited to talk with another great innovator in the transformative education space. And today we are going to be talking about an organization called City Year, and specifically City Year New York is who we are talking with today. And we're really going to talk about why the City Year program and the direct applications in any given location of City Year make such a difference in the lives of learners. And so joining us today for this conversation is Quamid Francis, who is a Senior VP and Executive Director at City Year New York. So Quamid, welcome to Learning Unboxed.
Thanks so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Excellent. We're really excited. And just to set a little bit of context for our listeners, City Year New York is a nonprofit dedicated to partnering with educators to improve students' access to educational opportunities. And the City Year New York AmeriCorps members are the student success coaches, as they like to call them, serve full-time in 17 New York City public schools, reaching more than 7,000 students each day, which that alone makes it a remarkable feat. But add to that, they do amazing work that does, in fact, make a difference in the lives of students. They work in classrooms alongside teachers. They work in small groups. It's highly personalized, and the support is intended to be extremely holistic around skill building in the classroom. So, Quamid, let's start for our listeners who may not be familiar with City Year in general. Let's start there first. So give us the sort of 100,000-foot view of this concept of City Year.
Yeah. So from a 100,000-foot view, City Year, we're an education-based nonprofit, and we always like to say that we are powered by national service. And that's through our partnership with AmeriCorps. What we do is we recruit and we develop AmeriCorps members to become student success coaches. And what we do is we place teams of those coaches across our partner schools across New York City. We are the lead community-based organization in 16 of our 17 partner schools. And really what our coaches are there for, and I could expand on this later in the conversation, is to build trust and relationship with our students before we can even begin to think about what it looks like to provide academics, tutoring support in ELA and math. You have to build those trust and relationships. And, you know, a growing body of research on, you know, student preferences and how students learn and develop shows that integrated holistic supports, which includes services and practices that address a student's social, emotional, and academic development, provides the best path for students to graduate from high school, be prepared for college success in career and in their life altogether. And so again, our number one priority for our student success coaches is to build those trust and relationships. And then on the flip side of that is, we have a double bottom line, as we refer to it as, we support our AmeriCorps members who serve as student success coaches in their lives after City Year. And so that's through our workforce development programming, as well as other initiatives to support their post-City Year success.
I love that. And that is a piece I was not aware of. So I appreciate that very much. We'll dig into that a little bit because I think that's really intriguing. You know, and some of our listeners may have bumped up against City Year. You may have City Year in your own community. We certainly do in the community in Columbus, Ohio, where we are based. And what's really interesting to me, and I've interacted with City Year in those student success coaches in a number of different schools and venues and formats. And I think that one of the things that's always really appealed to me about it, in addition to all the great work that they do, the other thing that I find really interesting is that there's such a level of committed mentorship that happens. And you can really, really see it. It's fascinating to watch a school that's never had City Year, and City Year comes in, and to watch the teachers sort of try to figure out what to do with this thing, but more importantly, to watch the students. And, you know, and students are hesitant. New things can sometimes be a little bit daunting, but by the time you get to that end of service of that academic year, when City Year first showed up, it's like night and day.
Absolutely. You know, we know that, and I touched on this a little bit earlier, that it's social, emotional, and, you know, academic skill development or SEED, you know, are inextricably linked, and that social and emotional factors, including secure, trusted relationships, as I've mentioned, interact with the neural processes to shape the learning experiences and outcomes of students. So when holistic supports are prioritized in schools, particularly those impacted by historic and ongoing structural, social, political, and economic inequities, all students can thrive once those support systems are provided. So to your point, you know, City Year, we implement that holistic approach to support our students. Our student success coaches, they build those strong trust and relationship with students and their families. They give kids a caring adult to show up for every day and advocate who ensures that their needs are met. They support students' social, emotional, and academic learning, helping them to overcome challenges as they arise without disengaging from schools. And again, they give kids a fun reason to show up, from our after-school programming that ranges from studio Lego art to our robotics programs to programs like Attend Dances for students with strong academic records. So when you build that relationships, both with the student and their families, you begin to address those things we call refer to as ABCs, you know, addressing chronic absenteeism, reducing the number of behavioral incidences, and then supporting students with their coursework in ELA and math.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so, and it does work. Like I said, I've seen it firsthand and in numerous communities. And the other thing that I really appreciate it is that it's highly customized, in the sense that no two look alike. So with that in mind, let's talk about, what does City Year New York look like? What do you feel like, Quamid, are the unique circumstances? Because every community has some, right, that makes the work that you're doing in New York particularly useful and relevant to students in New York?
Yeah. So what's interesting and what differentiates City Year New York from the other 28 City Year sites across the country is we're in what's called community schools. And, you know, one definition of community schools, as defined by the Coalition for Community mm-hmm. Schools, is it's a public school that serves as the hub of its neighborhood, uniting families, educators, and community partners as an evidence-based strategy to promote equity and educational excellence for each and every child. And it's an approach really that strengthens families and the overall community. And so when we think about our work, we employ what's called the whole school, whole child model. Mm-hmm. It's to support, to build those relationships and support with academic tutoring instruction for sure. But it's also that whole school support, right? When we think about all the different activities to help create welcoming environments, build them belonging and engage in families, from when parents drop their kids off to when they pick them up, right? Ensuring that mm-hmm. every interaction with that student, with that family, with that community is one such that it resonates so deeply that it creates those trust and bonds, and it makes us integrate more seamlessly into those communities with the families, such that you know, parents, when they learn about, you know, the different work that we do with their students, they are so inspired that they want to get more involved. And then we get to get them involved, and we get to provide them with extra resources. For example, you know, many of our the parents of our students qualify for various different city, state, federal mm-hmm. benefits, but because mm-hmm. they don't know about it, they may not take it up. But right. because they build that relationship with us, we're able to connect them with those resources. So it goes far beyond the classroom for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that's the same thing that I see in the different instances. And it's really encouraging, but it's also incredibly powerful, you know, as you said, mm-hmm. for those communities and where this is happening. But I am curious, every community has, you know, a unique set of challenges. And so when you sort of step back from the day to day, and you really sort of put that strategic hat on, what would you say are some of the unique challenges that New York City public public schools are facing, and how specifically do you feel like that your instance, if you will, of City Year is able to be that effective change agent in that moment, in that space?
Well, I'll talk about it in a context of, you know, the post-COVID climate. Right now, we're trying to figure out, what is that baseline? We know that there are various different barriers that impedes that students' learning and development. Coming out of COVID, all those barriers have been exacerbated, and there's been compounded by new challenges. One of the particular challenges I'll hone in on is, the different asylees that are coming into our schools that stem from, the migrant crisis. So we have a lot of students where English is their second language, and, all the different challenges that they came to the city with, now they're trying to integrate within schools. And how do we meet those students where they are? So that's a really big challenge for the city, for sure. And one of the things that that is so special about our work, our whole school, whole child model, is we have strong partnerships, certainly with our supporters in philanthropy, and as well as, the New York City Department of Education or New York City Public Schools now. And we collect that data, we share that information, we figure out ways to meet students where they are, and we continue to sharpen those strategies as we go forward. One of the things that I want to point to in terms of evidence of our model is, for example, one of our schools, Mosaic Prep Elementary School, for example, in East Harlem, notwithstanding the challenges of, the number of migrants coming into that school, we were still able to increase daily attendance by 10 percentage points last year, even as that school began serving a large community of recently arrived migrant families. So that's really speaks to how we're able to rapidly mobilize, generate resources, and meet students where they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wonderful. And I'm no Mosaic, so that's fabulous to hear that you had that kind of impact at some place that we've actually talked about, even on this program. So that's remarkable. I love that. So what can you share with us a little bit about, because I think that, to sort of step back, so in this sort of post-COVID space, what you're talking about, we see this all over the country and other parts of the world, right? These impacts, they are not new, right? But the pandemic really made them front and center, honestly, in a way that we desperately needed a lot of these things to be front and center, so that finally, maybe we could collectively address them and actually do something meaningful to solve some of those problems. Not that great work wasn't happening, but there was always some other excuse. But the minute, the pandemic put it in front of parents, it put it in front of cities in a completely different way, honestly, it really gave us this intriguing opportunity to not just talk about this thing, but to actually try to find meaningful solutions. And certainly City Year can be a powerful partner in that work. And just changing the dynamic, as you said, of chronic absenteeism, that alone is a win, right? Students aren't going to succeed if they're not, in the place where they need to be to learn. So that's fabulous. But I'm super curious, again, for our listeners, the idea of a student success coach, that's, in many ways, it's not new. We can think about the old traditional sort of AIDS approach that we had in classrooms or in school. But there's a twist to this, right? Because these folks have volunteered in many ways, right? They've decided that they want to make service a priority, right? And so I think that the folks that tend to find themselves to City Year come with a very, very different sort of attitude around the work that they're doing. And I think there's power in that. And I'm curious about how the folks that find themselves there, and when it's a really great fit and it's really working, how that translates into the day-to-day way that they provide their service back to the students or back to the teachers of the community or the school.
Yeah. So, our student success coaches, they enable the conditions for equitable, personalized, holistic student development aligned to what, the science of learning and development has demonstrated that all young people need to thrive, right? So we think about positive developmental relationships that I've mentioned, and the really special aspect of a student success coach is that they are near and peer, right? They're near peers to those students. They're closer in age to those students relative to the teachers. So our students are confiding in our their near peers, their student success coach, about things that are coming up for them, whether it's from the home or in the classroom, that they would otherwise go to their teachers about. And so that allows more information to come in. So they provide environments filled with safety, right, and belonging. And we think about safety, not just physical safety, but that's psychological safety. They enhance the classroom and the school climate through developmental strategies that create joyful environments of safety and belonging. They create help support rich learning experience and knowledge development. They partner with their teachers and, you know, they lesson plan with their teachers so they can model that instruction in after-school programming. They provide, you know, developmental skills, habits and mindsets, integrated support systems woven into the fabric of each school and play a key role in implementing effective integrated student support by enabling that whole child approach to integrated social, emotional, and academic student development. So really, through and through, you think about the in-class, you think about the personalized after school, and think about the whole entire school climate that they help to, you know, make positive for their students and their families as well. So they play an auxiliary but an essential role in the classroom. And when you think about the challenge, the teacher shortages, right? You having that extra support is so crucial. When you think about wanting to reduce that teacher to student ratio, having that additional person in the classroom is essential. So it goes beyond the academic instruction. It addresses a myriad of different challenges that schools have been confronting, certainly for the past few years post COVID.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. It is really, truly amazing to watch. And you're right, because the kids do often develop some pretty robust and, I would argue, in many cases, essential and necessary relationships with these city year people in the environment, right? And it is interesting to sort of watch all of that take place in terms of the way that it works. And I can also say that I've observed that same sort of interesting opportunity as it relates to the way the formal educators relate to these city year participants, you know, because not everybody who goes through city year is going to make the decision, I'm going to, you know, go back and I'm going to become a teacher. But it's intriguing to me how many people I've met who participated in city year, who were, you know, assigned to do work in school settings, who, even if they don't become educators themselves, they take on an attitude and a community involvement around education that I think that they would have never otherwise sort of found themselves in. And they become advocates for the communities themselves. And I don't know this because I haven't interviewed city year, you know, participants many years later, but I suspect those people are educational and community advocates for the rest of their lives.
100%. And I can share some data on that.
Please.
Close to 50% of those who serve with City Year, they go into public service, generally speaking. Roughly about 35% of our City Year AmeriCorps members, they go on to serve as teachers. What the data says is those who've had city year experience and who become teachers tend to serve as teachers longer than those who don't have that city year experience, because they've had that experience working with kids. Yeah. And so we serve as like we're a pipeline catalyzer for teachers. And so that's why a lot of principals, school districts, they value people, teachers with city year experience, because they know from a tenure perspective, they're likely to stay there longer because they've had that experience working in a classroom and they want to go back.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that the other thing, and I don't know this, but I'm surmising here, right, is that, you know, that time in the classroom as a city year member, it's high stakes, but it's low stakes, right? Because you don't have the same responsibility as the formal classroom instructor, but you get to see the love, the joy, the value of being a teacher and a mentor, right? Without the pressure of that back end sort of deliverable. And I think that if you could come to love teaching from that space, in my mind, your inclination to stick with it longer makes total sense to me, right? Because you grabbed the joy to begin with. You know, I always say, you know, the profession of teaching is really interesting. The majority of teachers go into the profession because they loved learning. They loved being a student themselves. They had a teacher that inspired them and they thought, hey, I want to do that. Very few people go into it because it's just a thing to do, right? Yet we know we're losing teachers right and left. And, you know, so it's interesting. I think your point about that this is a mechanism that actually sort of instills a really solid foundation and baseline for folks to go into the profession and to stay there is absolutely fabulous.
Yeah. And it, you know, it tracks with, you know, I shared the evidence, some data around, you know, what it service oriented to education. And, you know, we've been having extensive conversations with New York State's Lieutenant Governor Antonio Delgado and SUNY Chancellor John King. And I'm proud to say that we've had a huge hand in the newly announced in the Governor's State of the State address 2 days ago of the Office of Service and Civic Engagement that will be housed in the Lieutenant Governor's office, because they recognize the value of service oriented to education, to create those opportunities for young people to serve in their schools, in their communities, to shape positive outcomes. And, you know, it also, you know, last year, President Biden, or maybe it was in 2022, launched what's called the National Partnership for Student Success. That model, that strategy is built off of CityEar. And I should share that we are the lead technical assistance provider for that strategy. Again, how do you put more caring adults into the classroom? It addresses a myriad of those different challenges, teacher shortages, getting teachers out from doing the things that they ought not to be doing, right? To create more positive experiences for students in terms of school culture and climate. So, you know, this is catching fire in a lot of different ways. And I'm proud to say that we've had a huge hand in influencing the policy decision and investment really in New York City communities and across the state through that Office of Service and Civic Engagement housed within the Lieutenant Governor's office.
Yeah, that's awesome. And congratulations, because that's a really, really amazing thing and a fabulous win for everybody, right? Everybody's going to benefit from that work that you've done. So one of the things that you mentioned earlier in our conversation that was news to me was the fact that there's an element of workforce development, I guess, if you will, right? For the participants of CityEar. And so I've participated in CityEar. I've done my time in my service and my tenure is about to be over. So I've got lots of choices ahead of me. How does CityEar New York help me as I transition into whatever's going to be next? What does that look like? Because I think that's a really intriguing element of this whole conversation.
Yeah. So I shared a little bit ago, one of the things that we're an education-based nonprofit. And so we certainly are highly invested in building a more robust, diverse pipeline of future educators with the understanding of the need for taking a holistic approach to student development and experience confronting systemic inequities that exist. However, we know that all of our AmeriCorps members who serve as student success coaches won't become teachers. Many of them may not even go into public service. And so what we want to do is we want to go beyond thank you for your service. I served in the military and I always say, and it's gotten better, much better, I should add. You are sufficiently trained to do your job in service elements, whether you're talking about the military, Peace Corps, AmeriCorps, but you're not sufficiently supported to on-ramp into your next opportunity. And that's a shame. And so what I said to my team is, hey, we need to go beyond thank you for your service. And let's figure out what are the different career opportunities and what are the different things and interests of our Corps. And let's build a strategy to help support them in their next, we call it LACY, their leadership after CityEar. And so we've incubated 2 years ago a program with Deloitte whereby, you know, those who are interested in the private sector could take an opportunity by getting interviewed by Deloitte consultants and potentially landed a job. Proud to share that out of 123 of our Corps members, you know, 27 AmeriCorps members were offered a full-time job at Deloitte, right? And these are high-paying jobs, right?
That's amazing. Yeah.
Amazing, right? And so something that we're scaling now. So we're calling it the Lacey Passport Program, a passport into your next opportunity. And so really it's about building out an employer supplier network with different firms, whether it's we're partnering with some firms in the nonprofit sector like iMentor, building up the private sector firm base like New York Life, Bain & Company, certainly Deloitte, New York City government. We really want to be as holistic as possible in terms of our offerings to and develop strong partnerships with those firms in different sectors to ensure that when it comes times for interviewing in the spring time coming up soon, that we are connected with those different firms and industries to ensure that our core members are at the front of the line having served, right? And now it's time to serve them who have served. And so we've built up a really robust workforce development strategy here in City or New York in particular. And so, you know, I proudly boast that we are at the intersection of now education and workforce development.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's really, really remarkable. And, you know, again, you know, because I've bumped up against and interacted with so many different, you know, City Year participants over the years. And, you know, and I would say that 90% of those participants, you know, I would advocate you should hire immediately. You know, because there is something to be said about making a choice to go and serve, to spend time outside of your educational path or your career path, and to just give time and to understand what it means to provide services that are needed in any given community. I think that changes your entire outlook and your mindset. And I also think that from an employer standpoint, you know, you want that person because they're going to invest and whatever it is that they choose to participate in.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think, you know, my service experience, certainly in the military, in public service, in New York City government, and now here at City or New York, I always say, you know, service is my North Star. It's the only thing that I've ever done and only thing I envision myself doing professionally. There's something about service-oriented work. It's hard, right? It's long hours. Our core members are serving from 7:30 a.m. sometimes to 6:30 p.m., right? And, you know, the benefits from a monetary perspective is not always lucrative, but what you get out of it is so much more, right? We think about the experience of military experience in my case and the experience that our AmeriCorps members are serving a year. It's like they're serving a year and, you know, change their lives are changed forever, right? They get different perspective of how it's like to work in communities that are different from theirs. They get to build skills of working in diverse teams because they're working with teams, people from all across the country. They're serving in communities with different diverse needs. And so they're building a lot of people experience, project management experience from collecting data and analyzing data, student data to figure out how do you, you know, move the needle on chronic absenteeism? How do you move the needle on reducing behavioral incidents? How do you move the needle on improving math and ELA scores, right? So it's a holistic experience that they're getting, leadership experience, right? Many of them are leading on various different initiatives, whether it's after school club program, maybe they're the team leader for the in-class instruction team. And so they're getting a diverse set of skill sets, working in diverse teams, a diverse experience over the course of a year. I mean, there's nothing really that can compare to a year of service or any service-oriented profession that I can think of.
Yeah, I would agree with you. So I'm curious, and as we sort of wrap up our conversation a little bit, and we're in January of the new year, and so what is new? What are you thinking about, Kwamid, as you think about the track record and the incredible work that City Year New York is doing and has been doing? What's next on the horizon, or what's the thing that you are super excited about sort of moving forward?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. What I'm really excited about is continuing the immense and important services that we are providing to New York City schools. And I share that because we are facing enormous fiscal challenges within the city, right? And so there's a lot of priorities on the table that the mayor has to confront. And, you know, what I share about our model is we've transcended administrations, mayoral administrations. We've transcended crises. I mean, we were incepted in the wake of 9/11 to serve communities. We were here in a great financial crisis, hiring young people when, you know, people were laying off people. In a COVID world, we rapidly responded and meet students where they are by providing a lot of technical support through our corporate partnerships. And in a post-COVID world, our whole school, whole child model is here and ready to meet students where they are once again. So one of the things that I'm focused on is ensuring, as our, you know, our city faces various different fiscal challenges, is that we can continue to serve our students. I know our students benefit tremendously from our work. The parents of our students love having us in their school. They, when they pick up their kids and they are excited to see their CDR member with their child, it's like a special moment, truly. And so really, what I'm focused on is deepening the work that we already do, because it works. It's evidence-based. It's meeting students and families where they are. And it'd be a shame if that can't continue.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I would agree. And so I hope it's here forever and here to stay, because it's really remarkable. Last question. So CDR is not everywhere. We know that. But if folks that are listening are intrigued and they want to learn more and figure out how they can either tap into CDR that does exist in a community where it already is, or how can they talk with their community about the potential of bringing something either CDR or CDR like into their community, how would folks at sort of grassroots really start to do that, to have the conversation that says, hey, what's happening in New York is incredibly powerful. Why don't we have this in every community across the country? Or certainly in my own community, I really want this. What do you advise to folks?
Yeah, for first and foremost, if you want to learn more information about our work, you know, CDR.org/New York, or you could just Google CDR New York. I'm happy to share my information so you can include in your show notes. We also just launched a playbook in partnership with the LEGO Foundation. It's about student success coaches in community schools. So if you want to have, if you're looking for recommendations for guidance and what this actually looks like in practice, and how you as an organization of any kind really wanted to support students in the classroom, we have a playbook that we just launched. I can include that link for you as well to include in your show notes. But if you could just Google student success coaches in community schools, CDR, it'll pop up, but we'll include that information for you to share with your audience, with your listeners for sure. But please feel to reach out. And you know, if you're interested in working with us, partnering with us, supporting our work, certainly reach out. Mm-hmm. We'd love to get in contact with you.
Absolutely. And we will include all of those things in the show notes. So thank you for sending those on. And I do encourage our listeners, if this conversation is meaningful to you, and if you can see the value, and I can promise you there is so much value in what you just heard in this episode, please, please, please reach out, because there is such a wealth of knowledge that Kwamen has to share. And this is really good, meaningful work. And it does make a difference. And so I want to thank you so much, Kwamen, for the work that you do, but for also taking time out of your very busy day to share the story of what's happening with CDR in New York with us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, and I want to thank you and your entire Learning Unboxed team, who is making all this happen behind the scenes as well, the entire community of listeners who tune in on a regular basis to this program. And thank you all so much, and look forward to being in touch.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for joining us for Learning Unboxed, conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I want to thank my guests and encourage you all to be part of the conversation. Meet me on social media at Annalise Corbin, and join me next time as we stand up, step back, and lean in to reimagine education.